So wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
I was wondering how many of you did lesson one? Yeah, okay. So how many of you did not hear me say last week that this was not the introduction, so we would be doing the introduction tonight. So you are very prepared for next week. And I want to encourage you to go back over this week, go back over what you've put down, to look at it with a different eye as you get into it. But really, go back over it. Don't I've got that done. Do every day. Go back over it every day, just like you did, because I know that there are none in here that sat one day and did them all, right? You did it day by day, right? Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. So I just want to encourage you to do that. But today, we're going to be doing the introduction to these letters that Peter wrote. And so as we get into the study now, the one thing that really stood out to me as I was getting ready and as I was getting ready this morning, life is hard and it might not get easier. Do any of you remember that Amy Grant song? It really is an outline for this book, for these books, 1st and 2nd, not Timothy, it would be actually Peter, but... And the words of it, we believe in God and we all need Jesus. Is that correct? Yes. So it's right on. Life, because life is hard and it might not get easier. It might not get easier, and I assure you it will not get easier. Today is the easiest day you have lived through. You may have lived through really tough stuff in the past, but it won't get easier. I guarantee that. It will be a challenge as you walk this walk with the Lord. But don't be afraid to know who you are. That's what 1st and 2nd Peter is about. Don't be afraid to know who you are. Who you are in Christ. So pay attention to that. Don't be afraid to show it. Don't be afraid to show who you are. If you believe in God, if you say you need Jesus, he'll be where you are and he never will leave you. Sing to me now words that are true so all in this place can know it. We believe in God. We believe in God and we all need Jesus. We believe in God. Can we say an amen to that? We believe in God and we all need Jesus. So that is exactly what 1st and 2nd Peter is about. We all need Jesus, being who we are, and just moving on from there. So the introduction of 1st and 2nd Peter, as we get into it, these letters, these epistles, as they're called, of Peter, were written to the Christian Jews of the dispersion, those who were in the provinces of Western Asia. And that's where Peter spent a lot of his time there in that area. And as we already know, Peter's particular ministry, and you all know this, his particular ministry was to the Jews. It was to the circumcision, the Jews. Galatians 2:8 states that. The letters deal with the believer's relation to the kingdom of God. Our relation to the kingdom of God. It does not deal with the church as the body of Christ, as Paul did. Paul dealt with the church as the body of Christ. And yet, as we are a part of his kingdom, we are also part of the body of Christ. So it all intertwines together. But what Peter is speaking to is that relation that we have to the kingdom of God. Both letters are called wilderness epistles. Why are they called wilderness epistles? It speaks of the children of God as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims journeying on through the wilderness of this world to his glory, into his glory, from glory to glory. Pastor Bill talked on Sunday about Psalm 84, our hearts set on pilgrimage. I need to ask you, ladies, are your hearts set on pilgrimage? This world is not our home. We are just passing through it. This is not a dress rehearsal that we have here. This is not like, oh, well, I'll get it right next time. I'll get it right next time. Let's live today. Right today. Yes, learn from the past and look toward the future, but let's not forget today to show Jesus in our lives. Let's not take today for granted. And so in this first letter, Peter explains what the reason for the letter is. And he waits until the very last chapter, the very end of the letter, to explain it. What's the reason for this letter that Peter states in the last chapter of 1 Peter? It is to testify that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. And that's 1 Peter 5:12. It is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Paul would write to the Romans about the grace that saves and that which gives us that perfect standing with God. We're not talking about that kind of grace. Peter is talking about the grace that we have, that we are given day by day. Day by day. Day by day, the grace that we're given day by day. Do you need grace? Yes. I need grace. Am I willing to give grace? To some people. Is there anybody else with me on that? I raise my hand only because I'm so embarrassed that I have to say that. Is anyone else there with me that I sometimes pick and choose who I want to give grace to? But you know what? That person that I don't want to give grace to, I would really like to receive grace from them. What about the reaping and sowing and all that sort of thing? So I want to have that grace day by day, that grace that enables me to stand against all the wiles of the enemy and despite all the trials that are on the way. Do you need grace to stand today? I need grace to stand today, and that's what we're going to learn about in this letter. Suffering, though, is a large part of this letter. Suffering. But it takes for granted that it's a normal life of the believer. It is a normal part of the life of the believer to undergo affliction, even while we're pressing on toward that high calling of Christ Jesus. We will have affliction. In this world, we will have tribulation. Guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Put that in your promise box. And you know, memorize that verse because that is a part of who we are. This life is hard and it might not get easier. You know, Kay Smith says that God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. And I have to be reminded of that. God is good. Life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. We rejoice, though, in the privilege of suffering for the one who has redeemed us with his own precious blood. We love him. I would suffer for him. Remember when Peter said, oh, I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you. And then he didn't, did he? But after that new life came upon him, after the resurrection of Christ Jesus, what did he do? He died for Christ. He was there. He died for Christ. And in a very terrible way, I might add, we are redeemed by that precious blood. And it's a normal part of our lives to go through persecution, to go through suffering, to go through those hard times. Talk to Saeed, if you could, in Iraq, who is suffering there in the prisons. Talk to, his name escapes me, the one that's in North Korea. Talk to him about it. What would they say? They're in there for their faith. They will tell you that they count it a privilege to suffer, to be suffering for Christ, to be suffering for Christ. Richard Warmbrand, Voice of the Martyrs, then Voice of the Martyrs, I believe, are going to be here Wednesday. Is that? I don't know if I have my calendar right, but in March. 29th of March, you want to be here for that, the Voice of the Martyrs. Richard Warmbrand, who wrote the book Tortured for Christ. Harlan Popov wrote a book that sounds very much the same, Tortured for His Faith. They knew it was a part of the normal believers' lives to suffer for Christ's name. They knew that it was a normal part of our lives. I want to say to you, oh, you know what? When you come to Christ, everything, your troubles are gone. Mm-hmm. I would be lying to you in the same way that people lied to me when they told me that when I first accepted the Lord. Just keep smiling. Everything's fine. Well, everything ain't fine, you know? Everything isn't together. I'm hurting. This happened to me, and I, you know, these things happen to us. And we can't expect anything other than what these people have gone through. I really encourage you. I don't even know if that book is still in print. Tortured for Christ by Richard Warmbrand. If you can get a copy of it, if you've never read it, please get a copy of it and read it. Harlan Popov, Tortured for His Faith. If you can get a copy of that and read that, it speaks to the heart of what we are as Christians, what we truly are as Christians. And are we willing to suffer in that same way? Because it is a normal believer's lives to suffer for Christ's name. And when I came to know Christ, I had people who told me my troubles are over. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears. No, you have got everything now. And you know what? I did have everything in Christ. But I still had sorrows. I still had suffering. I still had sadness. That all doesn't happen once I go to be with Christ. When I go to be with Him, there'll be no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears. But in this life, I will suffer persecution. And we all will. We all will have suffering. We all can suffer for Christ's sake. The mystery of suffering has confused men throughout the years, throughout the ages. There have been people who are trying to figure out this. Where was God? Where was God in the midst of this? The same place He always is, right here. In the midst of all of this, He's right here. Well, how could He possibly let that? You know, I am amazed at the number of people who will blame God for every bad thing that happens and then not give Him glory for the good things that happen. But here's the thing about trials and suffering. Sin is a very real part of our inheritance simply by being born into this world. Sin is a very big part of our inheritance. And so it goes without saying that the child of God is not exempt from that pain and sorrow and anguish, but the suffering of believers, I love this, is with purpose. Now, if you ever were pregnant, I don't know, not everybody in here maybe has had a child yet, but yet, you like that. I'm 92 years old, I haven't had a child yet, but you know about pregnancy. You know that there's pain that happens when that baby is about to be born, when that new life is about to come into this world. There is a pain that's indescribable. And, you know, today we give a lot of shots to ease that pain. But back in my day, we didn't do that. And it hurt. But you know what? I knew that that pain had a purpose. That pain was bringing that child into this world. New birth was about to happen. And there was going to be an end to the pain. An end to that type of pain. And then I think right away of the little saying that when they're little, they step on your toes. And when they grow up, they step on your heart. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? And that, don't we sometimes do that to God? We're just little kids. But someday we'll grow up. But anyway, it's with purpose. It's with purpose that it happens. Through suffering, we are much clearer on what Jesus went through when he was on this earth. Isaiah 53:3 says that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. God uses suffering to keep us from sin. 1 Peter 4:1, 2 Corinthians 12:7, to keep us from sin. There's another purpose for it. It's also a means of chastening or disciplining to make us more like Jesus. Hebrews 12:6 through 11. Sometimes suffering will simply get our attention. Recently, I've been through something, and God had spoken to me numerous times. I want you to slow down. I want you to sit down. I want you to, Joy, I want you to do this. Joy, settle down. Joy. And finally, something happened that God said, I told you to sit down. And so I had to stay down. It was suffering that caused me to hear God, to stop and pay attention to what he had to say. That's what he uses. He uses it in our life. There's nothing that happens in our life that is without purpose. Nothing. Well, what purpose did that play? I don't know right now, but I know at the end of the day, I will know, because I will know him even as I am known. And I will know why. Why did I have to go through all of that? Although, you know, we all say, well, I get to heaven, I'm going to ask about that. And we get to heaven, we go, okay, hi, God. We're there with him, looking at him face to face. We won't have those kind of questions, will we? We'll be glorifying God. I can't wait till that day. But we suffer because of faithfulness to his name and devotion to him. We have a very real sense of fellowship with him in the midst of our suffering. When I had that situation of suffering, I was very aware of God's presence. I was more aware of his presence than when I was running around doing this and doing that and doing the other thing. I was very aware of his presence right there with me. When we trust in, Christians are not exempt from suffering. When we trust in Christ, it doesn't mean that we're all freed from all the consequences of sin. Now, as far as divine judgment is concerned, John 3:18 says that we are cleared there. We are free from that divine judgment. That judgment is what we're free from. But we still live in these mortal bodies that carry that sin nature that we are born with. And we find that the world which we once were so in love with, the world where we once were so a part of, no longer has that. They're not as interested in us as they used to be. Because we are standing against some of the things that they're putting forth. I don't know. Did I tell you guys about the Jehovah's Witness that came to my door? You guys got to know this. It was so cool because they came to the door and they said that they were Jehovah's Witnesses and they just wanted to share with me for a little bit. I said, well, you know, my husband's the pastor at Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, and I believe that Jesus Christ is our only way to eternal life. And they said, oh, well, we believe that too. We believe in Jesus. You know, though, but she said, so here's the guy up front who's the learner, and he's listening to me going, And she's not really arguing with me, but she said, you know, that we just don't believe that he is God. Well, there we have a problem because you're not believing in the same Jesus that I'm believing in. And so I spoke with her. I said, I just need to know how can you trust someone to, we believe that they, she said, we believe that we can get eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I, how can you trust someone to give you eternal life who's not God? Only God can give eternal life. And so, well, but you know, I don't want to argue about any of these. Oh no, I'm not arguing. You came to my door, and I would be remiss if I did not tell you about the real Jesus, about the real ability to have that eternal life. So it was so cool having this young man up there just listening, because I talked directly to her so that I wasn't really paying attention to him purposely. And so just as we're having this conversation, I can see his face over here just going, oh. You know, that it, and I know that it made sense to him. And I never thought of that before when I've talked to a Jehovah's Witness. So I'm so excited that I had something to say to him that was is really right on. How do you trust someone to give you eternal life who is not God? There is eternal life in no other name. So anyway, so where was I? When that little thing came in this mortal body, and we hostility, when the, all this involves suffering. But with every trial and every affliction, there will come needed grace to endure. We will have the needed grace to endure. Hebrews 11:27, as seeing him who is invisible, I would see Jesus. As I was writing this down, I just thought of, but I would see Jesus, the invisible one at this moment. But I would see Jesus in my life and in the lives of others in the midst of a suffering. There's a difference between suffering with Christ, Romans 8:17, and suffering for Christ, Acts 5:41. All Christians suffer with him because of the very fact that we are partakers of his divine nature, and we quickly respond to the things that are adverse to that nature. Now, I used to go to a place long time ago, long, long time ago, long before I ever knew any of you guys, long before I even knew Bill, but I used to go to a place to go dancing. And I loved going to that place because I loved to dance. And it was dark. It was always dark in there. But then when I came to the Lord, one night I decided I want to go dancing. So I traipsed on over there, and this dark, dark place that I had always gone to, it was like it was closing time because I could see just as brightly in there as if it was closing time, and it was not nowhere near. And I just looked at the place and what was going on there and how it was. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, what are you doing here? I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm leaving. I'm leaving right now. He turned on the light in the midst of all of that, because that's not a place where I belonged. Why would I want to go back to those things that God delivered me from? Why would I want to be there? But to suffer for Christ is to bear shame and reproach, even persecution, even death, for Christ's name's sake, for him. Am I willing to do that? Acts 9:16. In Galatians 2, we read of the directions that were given to Paul, that he would teach he would bring the word of God to the Gentiles, and that Peter would go especially to the Jews. And they didn't confine themselves, though, to these particular groups. God used Peter mightily to speak to the Jews and the conversion of them. And God worked mightily through Paul in bringing the Gentiles to himself. So wherever God has called you, be there. Be there completely. Be there. I really wish, but you know, can you see Paul going, well, I really would like to be doing what Peter's doing, because I really feel like I fit there better, because I know all of this stuff. Now, Peter knew all of this stuff. Peter was Jewish. But you know, can you imagine them saying that? Did they keep it just to, did Paul just say, no, I can't talk to you. You're a Jew, and obviously you're not part of my group, so you're going to have to talk to Peter on that. No, that wasn't the case. And Peter wouldn't do the same with Gentiles. But they were used by God in those places. So go to the place where you are called and be there. Be all there. Don't spend your time just wishing you were someplace else. Anybody else do that? In the midst of what you're doing, what you're thinking, God call me, I know God called me to this, but I really would right now like to be something else, somebody else. If I only knew that that somebody else just has it just as hard as I do. You know, we all have persecution, we all have those trials, but they ministered. And you could say that Peter had a heart for the homeless, because Peter spoke to the Jews who were no longer in their home country. They weren't in their home country there. And I just love that when that little phrase came to my mind, and it obviously doesn't have the same impact that it had with me when I got it, but he spoke to the homeless, those who were longing to be home, and told them how you can get home. Peter was the one who did that. And so to Peter, to these Peter wrote, to these who were homeless, who were looking to their home, he wrote encouraging hope. He wrote encouraging them to trust in the Lord and go on in patience in the midst of your suffering. Go on in patience in the midst of your suffering. In the middle of it. It's kind of like, don't wait for the storm to pass, learn to dance in the rain. You know, just be a part of what's going on. This is a letter for afflicted believers that we've already talked about. Even though it was directly addressed to Hebrew Christians, it was no more confined than when Paul wrote to the churches. When Paul wrote to the churches, he said it was going to this church, it's going to that church, it's going to the other church, and it's just as relevant for me today. And when what Peter wrote is just as relevant to me as it was to the Jews of that day. And so it all is alive. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile. So what is written to one is intended for everyone. So I called 1st and 2nd Peter a wilderness letter, and that's what it is. It pictures believers as journeying from the place of the cross to glory, from the place of the cross to glory. God is moving us from glory to glory. From the place of the cross to glory, our inheritance in heaven. And many illustrations are drawn from Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan. In Ephesians, believers are looked at as already over the Jordan and in the promised land, enjoying their inheritance in Christ in the heavenlies. But that's Ephesians. But in 1 Peter, the believer is seen as a pilgrim, as a stranger, passing through a place that is not kind. This world is not kind. This world is not my home. I am just passing through, and how we move on to the promised land. In the midst of it all, it is a letter of hope. It is a letter of hope. As he speaks to the people, it is a letter of hope. In the midst of your suffering, you will walk. You will go. God will deliver you. He will give you grace. You will have all you need to accomplish whatever God's called you to do. Now, in your books, you have all kinds of history and all kinds of stuff on the left-hand side of the page there that has all of the things that you expect me to talk about in an introduction, but I'm not going to talk about them. Because the only thing that I have written down here is these two letters were written very close to the end of Peter's life. There were only two very small letters. Remember last week we talked about he was a very concise man. He was a man of few words. He got to the point, and I love that about him. He got to the point. He didn't play around with stuff. He just got to the point. So 1 Peter was written probably in AD 66 or 67, and the other one was written shortly after that. I cannot wait to see what God's going to do in us as we walk through 1 and 2 Peter. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, God, that you have blessed us in a way that we couldn't have gotten any other way without your presence with us. I thank you for the realization, Lord, of your Holy Spirit being amongst us. I thank you, Lord, that you hear our cry. Lord, you hear us when we call unto you. And Father, we lift up our nation to you. We pray, God, that you would deliver us from the evil one, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to stand in the way of truth, that you would cause us, Lord, to not back down, that you would help us, Father, to be able to give glory to your name in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we deal with people in whatever situation. And Lord, we pray for our leaders to come to know you as their Savior. Lord, that they would be delivered from a life that is ultimately destined to hell without you. So, Lord, we come to you and we stand in the gap for them. And we pray, God, that you would minister to them in a way that only you can, that they would be brought to their knees as they lead us, Lord, that they would seek you in all of their decisions. And as we read last week, with God, without God, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so we trust you, Lord. Our trust is completely and wholly in you. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up. All you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up. All you dreamers,
this has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.